Well, good morning again. I want you to know that the tongues of fire were bestowed upon the church last weekend, and they're still here, so I took my jacket off. Getting a little hot up here. So please excuse that. And for those of you who don't know, you know, I'm part of that lay speaker program for the United Methodist Church. So I've had a little bit of training. I have credentials. I have actually a plaque. And just to warn you, they'll probably change it at the end of today, but until then, if you would. And I did pretty good because I mostly wrote it all out, you know, but then those font things got all messed up, and so some of the words are over here. And then I put some of it in my own handwriting, and of course I can't read that either, so. That's right, that's why we always pray before. Well, so good morning. So this I title this today because we've got a lot of work to do. And this little sermon, you know, as we're looking through, you know, today's verses that we heard from were from lection with Psalm 8 and from Matthew. And we're going to just take a look at those, and I thought that those kind of spoke to me about some of the things that we've been doing. And so we thought we'd go ahead and look into that a little bit more. So if you would join me then. Yeah, 3,000 years ago, about 1,000 years before Jesus was born, we had Psalm 8 that was written down. And it tells us that the sovereign Lord God Almighty gave us dominion over the earth. Now, dominion isn't like having that token key to the city. It's not given as a gesture of love and respect. Rather, it was given loaded with responsibility. He placed us in charge of all the animals of all the earth. He handed us the reins to care for and keep his creation. He did not give us dominion over man. He kept that responsibility for himself. Now, the expression dominion means to have rule or authority. When one receives the authority of dominion, it implies an equal demand for right responsibility. One is then to rule, intend, or care for that which one has authority over. And so thus it is not given lightly. Fortunately, however, we don't have to champion this task by being solely responsible, as authority was given, as written in the scriptures, it was written in the plural. And scholars understand that that plural reference in the word in the old text, that we have that with all of humankind to share this job of taking care of God's lesser creatures. So we do that in community, and we share this great task that was awarded from God. So together, we collectively have that responsibility of taking care of the earth while God continues to care for us. So we, as the broad church of God, are collected with our assorted gifts given from the Holy Spirit to carry out the commands of the triune God. This, my friends, gave us a lot of work to do. How, though, is it, are we going to be trained for this huge responsibility set forth? Well, he sent his son to us. 2,000 years ago now, Jesus came to earth to reveal, teach, and show us what to do as we were generally failing in our charge at hand. He spent 3 years then in direct instruction, and some grew to understand part of it. Jesus was required to do a lot then too, including dying a painful, agonizing death to simply allow us the opportunity to succeed. See, his death did not grant our success. Rather, he did all that just to provide us an opportunity. It makes you think, would you go through all that for a close friend? Maybe. Would you do that for strangers who hated you? When Jesus was hung high on the cross and suffered a severe and humiliating death, he did as his Father asked, and he did it to grant you an opportunity to rightly serve your Creator and gain eternal freedom. Or you can deny God and serve the forces of wickedness. Remember, we are born as servants. This is an inherited character that we have. It's part of us. We are servants, and we will serve as part of our created function. Now, we can elect to serve God or not, but there is no middle ground. God designed and created everything, and it is written, you will serve God, or by default, or by election, you'll serve Satan. Perhaps we understand this if we review the Word of God. Now, I suspect most of you probably remember a lot of Matthew chapter 6. So we're going to go through that. I've got it here in front of me. You guys can pick up the book if you like. We're going to start on verse 7 of Matthew 6. And it says, and in praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Continuing with verse 9, pray then like this, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. On to verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. 14 continues. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father also will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And when you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by men, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. Verse 20 says, but lay up yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust can... doing that again. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Verse 22 continues, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is sound, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is not sound, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. This is verse 24. for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. This is the word of God for the people. So, just curious, how many people out there knew that the Lord's Prayer was Matthew 6, 9 through 13? Great. So that's roughly, we had about, that puts us at about, eyeball and help me, we're probably at about 8% for those of us listening on the internet today. Later today, you might want to read through Matthew through chapters 5 and 7, and you can kind of get more of that story in the context. It's kind of interesting that we had, you know, the Lord's Prayer that we say all the time, and yet the verses that immediately follow, maybe sometimes we don't quite glue them together and attach it as part of that that we pray before God on a regular basis. So maybe if we were to go through and look at that, that would help us just to understand those words even more. We've got a lot of work to do. Again, in verse 6:24 in Matthew, it says, "No one can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. But you cannot serve God and mammon." Mammon's drawn from the Greek, that word, and it refers to that gluttony of excess. And in this verse, it's basically referencing the evil one. So it is clear that we will serve one or the other. Of course, God judges that in our lives, of who it is that we decide to serve. Here, I just think it's simply vital to understand that we are servants and we're not masters. And so therefore, we'll either be in service to the Lord Almighty, or by default, we'll be in service to the devil. There's just no middle ground. And so do I hear a big amen for forgiveness? You know, thank God that we have a little bit more than those one verse to listen to. So Jesus returns after death on the cross and time in hell to fulfill the promise and again instruct and teach us how to fulfill our part of the story, that terrible task that was accomplished by our Lord was required to allow Jesus to confer on us this forgiveness. And by fulfilling the commands of his Father that made him available to us as Savior. Jesus reminds us in Matthew 28 that we read earlier, Sonia read to us, that all authority was given to him, and he commanded us in verse 19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." He knew that would be exceedingly difficult, so he reminded us, quote, "And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. I am with you always." And so it is, as we are sitting here 2,000 years later, that we hold our faith in that promise. We have a superhuman strength because Jesus is with us. And Jesus remains with us. When we accept him as our Savior and receive him into our hearts, and this is done by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and who was revealed back at Pentecost that we reviewed and celebrated last week. The Holy Spirit also is a gift from God that empowers us, strengthens us, and helps us to discern the ways of the Lord. The Son of Man is the Master who came before us and established this opportunity for a relationship. The relationship, though, is one we have to be active in, because only as like infant children, infant babes, is the relationship just granted without any choice. Once we servants reach the age of reason, we are demanded to elect our master, and that's the beauty and also the responsibility of having been granted choice, back with the Adam and Eve thing. See, in being granted choice, we are also granted consequence. We can choose right, and we can choose wrong. The sticking point is when we're not sure of our answer. You know, school just ended for our high schoolers. Remember that sick feeling as you penciled in your exam? Was that the right answer? Did I get enough of those answers right to pass this test? And then some days we just sat there with that sick, nauseating feeling. I should have studied more. And you know, I still feel that way. I should have studied more. Frankly, I believe we all should study more. I walked on the Emmaus weekend. It's a 3-day retreat. I did that back in 1999. Oh. And it renewed my conviction then to study the Bible more. And I found it also helpful to listen to Christian radio programs while commuting to work, because it was hard, easier than reading while driving, you know. And I also read books by Christian authors. But most importantly, I read the book authored by God Himself. Be sure to have a respected translation of the Holy Bible to study from. Pick it up daily after a short prayer of blessing and study the words God gave you at that time. You could also consider meeting once a month or more with a small group of faithful friends and share some time talking about the written truths and the living word expressed in our own lives. And please feel welcome to study here at church. The adult study is Sundays at 8:45, and next week we're going to begin a chapter study with Harold Kushner's book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. There are also other study resources available on your computer where you can just get programs to read. You know, there's on there, when I was looking over this, you know, there's the Bible where they have it as a parallel Bible with like 10 different versions there. All kind of for free, grant, as long as you have the internet for access to that. And also watch for here at church where we have the periodic Wednesday night studies where you can get together again with friends here and also some food and our Methodist tradition, and so that we can study more together. Because, you know, frankly, the more you study, the more you know. So know God more. After all, if you remember, in Luke 12:7 and Matthew 10:30 kind of say the same, where it's repeated that he knows all the hairs on your head. For some of us, it's easier than others. And then also in Jeremiah 1:5, he says, he knew you before you were conceived. So really know him. Don't simply know of him. Shalom, and let us pray. Thank you, God, for providing this word to us today. Ask that this instruction helps us to serve your purpose in our world ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.